And we are back with an all-new Keep It. I'm Ira Madison III, and I am in the studio.
I don't remember the last time this happened. It must have been 2019 or something.
Well, we did get a bit of 2020, baby.
Oh, that's true. Yes, that's correct.
The whole year wasn't COVID.
Oh, that's right. Also, of course it was 2020. Sorry, I'm an idiot. Hi, I'm Louis Fertel. We're talking about pop culture here, not memories. Sorry. Yeah.
There's a whole different wall here.
Yeah. The acoustics are a little better than the last time you were here, I think.
I feel like I need to build a home studio. Be like one of those.
You're like Kate Bush.
Yeah.
I'll produce my whole album here. I'll make the fog sounds myself.
Or at least get like the Keep It sign. That's here. Which is very different from our old Keep It sign, which used to have like our mood board of celebrities.
It literally was like just a giant magazine cutout. It looked like we looked like serial killers putting together like our hit list. It was horrible. I mean, like, it was cool, but it was just scary. Yeah.
So I'm back in LA because I was at Renaissance last night.
And this is, how many times have you seen it?
This was the third time.
Okay.
Yes. It was her birthday show.
Which is, I have to say, that's pretty awesome for LA that we got the birthday show on Labor Day when everybody had the day off. That's pretty awesome.
And there was a lot going on. First of all, well, Diana Ross sang happy birthday to her.
I saw her come out. And to be honest, first of all, I know Tracee Ellis Ross was at the show the other day.
Yeah.
So I should have done the math of maybe Diana's coming. Perfect celebrity to sing happy birthday to Beyonce. How lovely.
Yeah. And like, there's a moment where, you know, the music transitions into, you know, Love Hangover. And then she
easily
just,
her top five.
She comes out and she's singing it. Well, first of all, her mic wasn't working at first.
Mm.
But then, so I know Beyonce murdered somebody.
Yeah.
But then it comes on. She sings happy birthday to Beyonce. And that's just like, I love when like legends appear at someone else's show.
Right. Namely, someone like Beyonce, who I think is in the Oprah category of I don't love surprises. Like raising a knife at a producer.
Someone was sharing like old videos of like James Brown when Prince came on stage.
Oh, yeah.
And then Prince embarrassing himself.
Correct. Yes. Which rarely happens.
Yeah. So that happened, and there was obviously a slew of like celebrities there.
Mm.
There were the Kardashian clan.
Oh yes, I saw Chris roll up in some bright silver number, and it was
with
giving
Jeff Bezos.
Yes, she was with Jeff Bezos.
Yes,
she was too busy looking like the $5,000 wedge on Wheel of Fortune for me to notice.
She was with Bezos. Timothée was there.
No.
Timothée was there with Kylie Jenner.
With his big clavicle?
Their debut.
They've been going on for a while now.
Yeah. First of all, I feel like their relationship has always been like, are they really dating?
Mm-hmm.
And is this a PR thing? But it seems like they actually are dating. And here is also a reminder that Timothée is French and a bird. Okay. He was smoking inside the SoFi Stadium. And I'm not talking about vaping. Like,
wow.
Lit up a cigarette was smoking it.
Like a prostitute in a single man, like leaning against her car smoking. Yeah.
And listen, when I'm on a deadline, I become a smoker.
Uh huh.
So I have cigarettes in my jeans now. I would not light up a cigarette in a stadium when you're seeing Beyonce.
Yeah. I assume he was the only person smoking for like within the mile radius.
Smoking in the Ace of Spades, sort of the celebrities were in a riser.
Got it.
So you get to see them enter, and then they were all up in the like a riser, which is fine. I mean, you box the celebrities all together, but it also seems like not an amazing vantage point. I would rather be in Club Renaissance.
Correct. Yes. Yeah. So I guess you want to be seen if you're a celebrity at these things. Also, yeah, well, we always say about Timothée Chalamet, he loves dating people who are in the realm of celebrity already.
Yes.
Like he dated Madonna's daughter and he dated
Kaya Gerber?
Yes. Yeah, right. So, this is all in line with what the personality profile I've sketched of him long ago.
So Meghan Markle was also there.
Get the fuck out.
Meghan Markle was
that
there.
That really trips me out.
Yeah.
You never see her.
This is her second time at the show, and she went to the Eras tour too, so she's been stepping out.
Also, interesting moment for her because she's secretly also on the biggest TV show on the planet, Suits, which yes. people care about again.
I watched.
What? Why are we in this universe? Suits took over.
I watched Suits when it first aired, and I loved Suits. And I feel like now people are watching it again because it's obviously on Netflix.
Yeah.
But I never finished the series, and I think that I might finish it now. At a certain point, Gina Torres, who plays Pearson on the show, she leaves and goes to a spinoff, Pearson, which then got canceled after one season. But she leaves the show, and then you know, Meghan Markle left the show, and it really is just Katherine Heigl joins the show
Correct.
At some point, but
yes.
I did not see the Katherine Heigl years.
Mm-hmm.
Allegedly, it was good.
Katherine Heigl, a formidable screen presence. We forget this about her. And the five credits I remember of her. Did you just see recently that a clip from, I think, 27 Dresses went viral? Where, again,
why?
Where because her sister gets mad that or her sister wears her mom's wedding dress, but she cuts up the wedding dress. And she goes, oh, but I left the rest of it for you. And there's just a pile of scraps. Like, this is a serial killer. Who would do this?
Was this going viral in a Reddit, am I the asshole thread?
Sort of, yes. I mean, okay. Right. It was certainly an AITA vibe.
Yeah. Well, Meghan was stepping out solo.
Oh, interesting. Oh, right. The rumors are swirling.
The rumors.
Yeah.
Someone was saying that the rumors weren't true because a friend of mine said, the rumors can't be true because they're out there in the media saying that they're in love. And I said, isn't that what every celebrity does?
Right. No, it has to be official before they make the announcement.
Which I was just thinking about if that were to happen, if they consciously uncoupled,
mm-hmm.
what that really means for either of them.
Sure.
Because Harry doesn't seem to want to be a celebrity.
No.
But he wanted out of his family. And cool. he needed the push. So I don't see him returning to the fold, as it were.
Yeah.
You know?
He podcasted for a second. I don't know if that means he wants to be a celebrity. You can't see a podcast, so it's sort of like being a celebrity.
I think you see all podcasts now.
That's true.
Look at us.
Wow. You sound like a tech guru.
Every podcast is video now.
Right.
And they all go viral online. And people are just wearing the little headphones. And now we just watch people with headphones all day.
Speaking of people breaking up, did you hear that maybe Joe Jonas and Sophie Turner are on the rocks?
Yes.
And did you hear who reacted very loudly in the comments about this story?
Wait, who? Octavia Spencer again?
No. Marion Cotillard responded with a huge no. What stake did you have in this?
Well,
she probably thinks they're involved in 9/11.
Well, she doesn't believe in it, so this is her 9/11 right. now.
Finally, she
Bush,
gets one.
Bush did this. They definitely have something going on, and he definitely did something.
Mm.
If only because the breakup news happened, and then immediately sources were talking about how much time Joe Jonas is spending with his kids and his family, which means someone's PR is working overtime.
Oh, gosh. All right. Nefarious. Yeah. I mean, it's a strange predicament to find Joe Jonas interesting. I mean, whatever. You know, just like I've always been
the best Jonas.
I guess he is, actually. Yeah, and also probably the funniest one, too.
The funniest one,
yeah.
The hottest one,
yeah.
The tallest one.
Yeah, he's got it all.
There's the shortest one.
No, wait.
Nick.
Who's the one that's on claim to fame?
The Kevin? Other one. Are there four?
It's like Kevin, and then Zeppo
four.
Jonas, the
there's
one we don't
four.
Hear about.
Kevin wouldn't be on claim to fame because we know Kevin.
Yeah, you're saying there's two Jonases we don't know.
We know Kevin. I think there's just four.
All right.
I think there's four. I sound like a very bad Jonas Brothers fan.
Yeah, right.
I promise I love them. Who else was at the show? Kerry Washington.
Oh, okay.
Noted Keep It guest.
Yes.
Walked past me.
You know what? She was a really good Keep It guest.
She was a really good Keep It guest. And Jump Scare in Club Renaissance, not in the celebrity section, turned around and Lizzo was behind us.
Whoa.
Singing along.
I imagine she was hidden behind several fans.
No, she was literally just standing there. I think elevated, maybe not directly in Club Renaissance, but leaning over the Club Renaissance section and just singing along.
Wow. The energy around her must have been so spooky.
Yeah. It was very funny because there was a certain moment, and I believe it was around Cuff It, where people sort of were looking around, and it was like, what is going on here? And that's when I realized that Lizzo was behind us and people were glancing over.
Jesus, I really feel, first of all, I didn't see the Renaissance tour, so what's wrong with me anyway? But the sightseeing really does feel second to none. Mm-hmm. You forget that a concert is going to bring all these people out. Like,
especially
literally,
LA.
What else would, you know?
Yeah.
Like, maybe a chance encounter at LAX sometime, you know? But, like, otherwise, unless you're at, like, the Four Seasons Hotel during junket season, where you might see literally Paul McCartney walk through the lobby, as I did one time, when else will you see these people?
Yeah, and LA is also where people were complaining a bit because LA got, well, the big three songs, which are All Up in Your Mind, Thick, Drunk in Love, the Dubai vocals.
Stand Up for Love, the 2005 World Children's Anthem by Destiny's Child, which was first on their greatest hits. I always think about that. Why did they do that? The worst song, first on the greatest hits.
They got those songs that she did not include in most of the show, except for Atlanta one night, and then Stockholm when she opened the show.
Mm.
But every LA night got those three songs, and people were mad about that because, one, of course, LA did not do the Mute Challenge very well.
Oh.
And could you imagine LA ever winning a Mute Challenge?
I have to say, it is asking us to do the one thing we simply are not capable of doing, which is shutting up. In fact, it's rude.
I think that mostly, too, because LA concerts are constantly full with people who are just going because they get a ticket, they have money, they have to be there because it's the thing to do. That video that Tracee Ellis Ross posted of her doing the Mute Challenge at the show, there's literally just two girls behind her having a conversation during Energy, which is, why are you here?
Right. Also, Energy, I mean, it's a short song.
Yes.
And I'm sure everybody around you is being like, here comes the moment.
Yeah.
So if you're not even being alerted to the Mute Challenge occurring, you probably shouldn't have been at the show.
Yeah.
You know?
We were doing Mute Challenge drills at our pregame, courtesy of...
Like you're in the military? Okay.
Courtesy of Chelsea Lazansky from Selling Sunset.
It was
with her and Chriselle
and
our friend Lucas Gage.
Oh, what a motley crew. Oh,
yeah.
My God.
Yeah.
A selfie-friendly crew.
Access Hollywood was outside.
Oh, yeah. Mario Lopez knocking on the door. Sir.
Other than that, I think, you know, Kendrick Lamar also came out.
Oh, my God. That's amazing.
Yeah. They did America Has a Problem together.
Oh.
Also, his mic was not working at the beginning either, so I know that there were dead bodies after that show.
Beyonce just on stage, like, punching her fist into her hand, looking off.
It was maybe my favorite of the ones I've seen. She was very, she's just very happy this show, talking to the audience a lot. In the beginning, when she does Dangerously in Love, she was thanking her fans, thanking her family, thanking her husband.
This is so Janet behavior. I just want to thank the fans.
Everything they've been, all the shit we've been through.
Mm.
She said, for every tear, every fupa.
Get out.
Yeah.
Oh my God, fupa. Taking me back. She unveiled some look last night that was gold and blue with
yes,
the hat. That
yes.
was maybe my favorite look I've seen of her on this tour, too.
Yeah. The looks have been insane. So, I don't know. I'm very happy.
She's getting good at this.
Yeah. Yeah.
She's got a future. It's pretty crazy. She's definitely on about her 24th or 25th year of recording. I mean, it's like,
yeah.
If you think of someone like Elton John, that's when he would have been getting to, like, Can You Feel the Love Tonight? I mean, it's
yes.
just like she's been around so long.
She
now.
Was thanking us for being with her since 97.
Yeah.
Since, you know, it's, get on the bus.
Yeah. Literally, so when she emerges, songs that are around are like, come on, ride at the train. That's how long she's been around. Yeah.
Okay, who else from, so that's from 97 to now,
yeah.
which is about 25 years.
Yeah.
Who else around 25 years, what were they doing?
You know, I mean,
Madonna?
Like, first, it might be, so that would have been after Evita, but before Ray of Light.
Okay.
Yeah. But that's maybe, it's around the time when Robin is emerging. It's like teen Robin.
Okay.
You know, but it's like, it's before literally almost everybody else. Who, I mean, what else? I mean, that's a very Celine Dion, Titanic soundtrack time.
Okay. Okay. I mean, Michael died.
Right.
He didn't get 25 years, did he?
Oh, no, well, of course
I
he did.
Because
he's a,
five,
yeah,
Jackson
and
five.
He's a child entertainer.
Yes,
yes,
yes
right.
Yeah. And Janet, what era is that?
Oh, so that's right before, that's right as she's doing Velvet Rope.
Okay.
So, yeah.
I think that feels more akin to sort of where she is. Because
yeah.
Renaissance feels very velvet ropey.
Oh, yeah. Oh, in terms of 25 years into Janet's career?
Oh.
Oh, I see. Well, that's hard because, like, Janet has all those albums like Dream Street that we forgot about.
Yeah.
But 25 years into Janet's career, that would have been after Discipline. That would have been after, you know, so she's coming up on like the 20YO era, I believe. Okay. Yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah. And still doing, obviously, like, it's insane that someone is still producing music like this, commanding an audience like this, 25 years into their career.
I have to say, she and Taylor are kind of like this, where every album, it's like they're just accumulating more fans. Like, they add another pack of fans who maybe are connected to their new sound, but they don't lose any fans.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, some people ain't into that gay shit.
Right.
And some people are tired of Taylor's versions.
Oh, my. No, again, I've given her a blueprint for where I want her to go with this, which is steal other people's albums.
Next week, she's probably going to release Sour, Taylor's version.
Oh, my God. Love it.
She wants those Olivia fans.
Yeah. Those rowdy teens.
All right, shall we start this damn show? Right,
yes. Much as I enjoyed that recap, yes.
We have Brittany Broski here with us.
She, I think, I was watching Brittany Broski videos. One of the most immediately engaging personalities I have ever seen on YouTube.
Yeah.
Ever. It takes you 2 seconds. You're like, oh, that's my friend. We're friends.
Yeah. And we're YouTubers, so we know.
Right. Oh, yes, that's right. The show is on YouTube every week.
Famously YouTubers.
Right.
Famously YouTubers. Although they did not like you calling those kids awkward. Bottoms.
Wait, I'm sorry. Oh, yeah. Girlfriends, they were.
Some people don't like small talk, Lewis.
That's literally one of my pet peeves of all time, when people don't like small talk. As opposed to heavy talk, tell me the talk you'd like to have. Sometimes you have to discuss the weather. It's weird today.
I want heavy, like a first day period talk.
See, now we're back into Janet Discipline era. Yes.
So we got Brittany. We're going to talk about, I don't know what the fuck we're talking about this week. We're going to talk about music we've been listening to. We're going to talk about what we've been watching.
And how peculiar it is that we're getting all this new pop music like this week, when like maybe it's September. The summer just happened.
Yeah.
It's like releasing new Christmas music on Christmas Eve, right as it's, you know, the Christmas season is ending. It's like, girl, I don't have time to be off book. I can't go caroling with this.
Which, by the way, All I Want for Christmas Is You started trending, and Mariah tweeted, too early. Cut it out.
Oh, I love Imperious Mariah. Love it.
She's like, I'm not promoting this shit right now. It's not even Halloween yet.
Even though they feuded for a long time, Mariah does have that Madonna thing of, step the fuck off. Stop.
Yeah.
You know?
I wonder if they like each other now.
At this point, I mean, I would say time heals all wounds, but, you know, I think Madonna likes to keep open wounds. It keeps her fresh, keeps her up, you know, lively.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll be right back with more Keep It. Looking for more Crooked in your life? Subscribe to our What a Day newsletter for the latest updates on all the important stories you want to be caught up on. Visit crooked.com/newsletters to subscribe. I hit the block button on it, but you should subscribe.
You gave it a good chance. Yeah. They know what they did.
Okay, so this summer was all about Renaissance eras. Ice Spice.
Enjoyed her, yes.
She's been spicy.
Mm-hmm.
The ice has been spicy. Too spicy for white people.
That's right.
Yeah, you like ice mild. Ice chips.
Cholula at most, yeah.
There's been a lot of other music happening. So what are we listening to? Let me open up my fucking Spotify, because I don't remember anything.
No, but I do feel like there is a constant new stream of pop going on right now, which is exciting. Because as you know, we basically... unless you count Padam Padam, and I do, I'm wearing the necklace, there was no Song of the Summer. Like, we didn't really have one. Maybe Flowers by Miley Cyrus, but that definitely came out before the summer.
Is that a Padam Padam necklace?
Duh, official merch. Oh, yeah, I had $25 on hand.
I've bought a Kylie K necklace during the disco era.
Oh, uh-huh.
Yes.
Which, as you know, is my least favorite Kylie era.
Is it?
Yeah. I just think is it really disco? None of it was really disco.
Okay, well, here we go again. Lewis family deciding what is disco and what is not. That's why Jesse Ware won't come on this fucking show, bitch.
I'm sorry, you know one of my hobbies is gatekeeping. Yeah.
You know, my least favorite is the one that you liked, Golden.
I think that's also, I like that album because it's not really country. It's just styled like country. It's like Madonna's music album.
She's just being wistful.
Yeah, right. Oh, yeah, it was very romantic.
Speaking of Madonna, well, first of all...
This podcast should be called Speaking of Madonna.
Kylie released Tension.
Yes.
And I love seeing old bitches fight. And by old bitches, I mean gay men.
Yes.
Who have AARP cards. Because how are Madonna and Kylie stans still fighting about
right.
who's better online?
And also, I mean, they clearly have coexisted for 100 years. Yeah. There's famous shots of Madonna wearing the Kylie Minogue shirt. Kylie Minogue has talked about how she's a big Madonna fan. There's just no reason for us to fight.
I really don't even think there's clips of them being shady to each other.
Never, never.
Because Kylie can't even be shady.
I can think of one time somebody said, maybe Kylie was on Watch What Happens Live or something, and they asked her, what do you think of Madonna was sporting some weird look at the time. It wasn't the grills, but something akin to something like that.
Missed that era.
Yeah, right. And, well, it's ongoing, let me tell you. And Kylie goes, I'm not a fan of that. But that's as close as she gets. She's too sweet and really, the word I would use to describe Kylie that I think doesn't go for many of her contemporaries and younger is fabulous. Like, people are not really fabulous anymore. Like, Adele's kind of fabulous.
Bring back fabulous gay men. We're not fabulous.
Yeah, you're right. Well, again, we lost Audrey Leon Talley, and now we're at a fabulous deficit.
So, yeah, the gays were fighting about Tension because Madonna stans were saying nothing that Kylie has produced is ever will ever be as good as Erotica, even. So Kylie fans should shut the fuck up.
Okay. I don't know about that. I think there's some stuff that's on par.
I think Body Language and Fever are up there with some of the best pop music ever.
I would also say about Fever... completely flawless from track to track. You would never shut off any of those songs.
Right.
Whereas I would say on Erotica, there's a couple I actually would skip. Where Life
Did you
Begins.
Do it?
Yeah. Did you? Yeah, a skip. That sounds like rap music from exactly that year. Like when everything sounded like the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtles soundtrack.
It sounds like she was at home remembering Tupac.
Yeah.
And was like, let me just find the first rapper on the street to just say... Just say some.
Let me take a rapper in.
Just say some nasty shit on a track, and look, I'm Lil' Kim.
Yeah, right, right.
What year is Erotica actually?
92. So it's before
pre Lil' Kim.
Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
So
Big Kim.
Yeah, Big Kim herself, Big Kim. Madonna,
the first female rapper.
Yes,
Madonna.
Right. And in some instances, should have been the last. If you've heard some of her rapping.
Speaking of Lil' Kim, and. I did an extended essay on Lil' Kim that is in my book, which I finally finished.
Oh, my God. Look at you writing things down on a computer.
I've been talking about this shit for 2 fucking years. Wow. I've been writing it for 2 fucking years, but it comes out in June.
My God. All right. Yeah. Jesus Christ. I'll host a Q&A with you at some Barnes & Noble and get accusatory.
I'd love that.
Okay, good.
Like, I'm not going to be talking about this every day when it's
no
coming
kidding.
Out. Pre-order my book. I'm going to sound like Dan Pfeiffer.
He's always writing something.
I feel like he has 70 books.
He's good at seeming pissed. We don't do pissed well here.
Pissed, but like happy. Like a wry pissed.
Yeah.
Very, very young Biden.
Yes, yes, yes. Wry pissed. You know who does that well? The English. Okay.
Mm.
So Tension is the second single from the same named album by Kylie Minogue.
Thank God.
Yes.
I was so sick of Padam.
And also, I was sick of this album not coming out. Finally, we're in the month this album comes out. We've been anticipating this for months and months and months. Padam, I would say, is good in a ringtone way. Like, oh yeah, I remember the hook.
Yeah.
I would not say it's among her best songs. Padam, at least, first of all, Kylie is very much leaning into a persona and sound that I'm going to call Siri sex tape. Just an electronic voice being like, horny, you know, like that's her whole thing right now. But the song is very magnetic, very danceable. Yeah, maybe my favorite single of hers since at least Say Something, the first single off Disco.
I was actually talking with a friend about how Kylie's second singles tend to be better.
Oh, interesting.
Magic.
Oh, even though I prefer Say Something. Okay.
I was going to cancel.
Love that song. Very forgotten album that I think actually has gained something over time.
Get Out of My Way.
Oh, I much prefer that to All the Lovers.
Yeah.
Totally. Yes.
In My Arms.
Is that after Can't Get You Out of My Head?
I think that's after Two Hearts.
Oh, sorry. The X era.
Yeah.
Yes, yeah, yeah. Yeah, Two Hearts I don't love.
Yeah, and then Red-Blooded Woman.
Oh, fuck yes. The
Slow is amazing.
Slow, I think, is probably her best single song. So
And In Your Eyes.
Great song.
I think, obviously, Can't Get You Out of My Head is amazing, but In Your Eyes is actually my favorite Kylie song.
Also, this is just living proof that she doesn't just, she's not a one single artist. There's always, yeah. Also, she's one of the few people that really is preserving the art of the pop album, you know, like her and Carly Rae Jepsen and Madonna to a certain extent, and not the last album, but it's always a full package. You would never listen to a Kylie Minogue album and not like five of the songs, but there's a lot of new pop music going on this week. How do you feel about Single Soon by Selena Gomez?
Now, you know, I'm a Selenator.
Okay.
Selenator? Right. I never know how to say
it. It's one of the worst words in the English language.
Yes. I'm not a fan.
Interesting.
It's
okay.
It doesn't feel like a return to form.
It feels like it belongs on the last album to me.
Yeah. It feels very...
Which was a good album.
I don't know what's going on. I feel like I want it more like a thump, more of a beat. I don't know what vibe she's going for on this album. It's very Calypso.
Yeah. Call Mr. Belafonte. I will say about the song, I do like the Selena thing of murmuring over sick production. Mm-hmm. Sure, we need a pop murmurer. I think it could be her. And I love the title Single Soon. I love the sentiment of I'm going to be single soon.
Yeah.
That's so saucy, fun. And also, I just love the Queen of Jordan-ness.
Yes.
Of the, obviously.
My single was dropping.
Yes. A single called My Single is Dropping. So Single Soon, I was at Trivia last week, and our team was called Selena Gomez's new single, Single Soon, soon to be my favorite single.
What a good time.
What a good time. And then, of course, we won.
I feel like you always win trivia.
Yeah. Well, I will always win trivia if it's at High Tops in West Hollywood, where they ask you things like, you know, spell Madonna. But when I go to trivia at O'Brien's in Santa Monica, I have won literally one time. So, Okay. Yeah.
I miss trivia. I should start playing trivia in New York. I gotta find, let me know where the good trivia bars are in New York, listeners.
Please.
Keep it tears.
Yes. Keep it tears. I love that from 2018. Also, I'll say about trivia. I think it's just the best way to hang out at a bar. It gives you something to do. Then you talk between rounds, drink, whatever. And then it needs to be slickly run. I want to get there at 8 and I want to be out by 10. So hit me with the rounds quickly.
Because I used to do it at Barney's Beanery. And we used to win a lot. And we had rivalries. And that was a fun era.
I love that stuff. No, by the way, Barney's Beanery in West Hollywood. Did you know this? Stop me if I've brought this up before. Do you know who spent their last afternoon on Earth at Barney's Beanery?
No.
Janis Joplin.
Oh.
You don't think of that as like a really historic place in West Hollywood, but it's been there for years and years and looking exactly the same. I guess Janis Joplin was like, before I go, I will be having French onion soup.
Was that when they had the no fag sign?
I'm sure it was, yes.
Yeah, they used to hate us.
Yes, right.
But then they were like, gays like beaneries too.
Right. Gays can play pool also? This is crazy.
And some gays are named Barney, like the dinosaur.
I was going to say Barney Stinson, but he's supposed to be straight on that show.
Yeah.
Right. Okay, anyway.
Allegedly.
Yes, right.
But they canceled How I Met Your Father.
Right.
So we'll never know. Not like he was in that fucking show. I actually have never seen it. I feel bad that it was canceled for the people who like it, but also now Hilary Duff is free for Lizzie McGuire, which... I still want that reboot.
Right. Also, Hilary Duff, cool person. I underestimated her at the time.
She's fun.
Yeah.
She's really fun. I feel like she is very aware of who she was and who she is and has fun with it.
Totally.
Like, I loved when she did...
She has no grudge about it.
I loved when she did that TikTok when people were making fun of her doing the With Love dance, that weird choreography.
Yes, yes.
And she redid it on TikTok. That's from the era where, like, late 2000s, where I feel like every pop star had a choreographer giving them very weird dance moves.
Yes, right.
A lot of jerking around and, like, crawling on floors.
Now, speaking of Disney alums, what do you think of the new Miley single?
I love Miley Cyrus.
Just avoiding the question.
It's good. I think it's a one listen for me.
Yeah. The song is called Used to Be Young, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a little sad.
I will say this. It has the pomp of The Climb, like you're getting an anthemic moment.
Mm-hmm.
I don't feel like it hits the get ready heights of The Climb, mm-hmm. where you then get like a big pop pounding moment. It feels like it almost stops before it hits the gigantic satisfying moment. Great vocal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I mean, great video.
She always fucking sounds great. Yeah. I think we've talked about this before. I love her covers era, and I feel like She does so many amazing covers, but never really releases any music that feels like those covers, like mm-hmm. as bombastic as like a Blondie song or Pat Benatar song. Mm-hmm. And that's what I want from her. I just want her rocking and rolling.
She, of course, looks fantastic too. It is my pet peeve of all time when, first of all, people who are 30 years old are being like, I'm old now. Can't stand that. And then two, that Adele thing of, we used to be young and we're older now. Bitch, that applies to everybody. Stop sounding like a horoscope where you're going, again, I'm coming for the Taylor fans again. She's writing in a way where it's feigning specificity, but it's universal. And I think that's a trick and cloying. Mm. Anyway.
Okay.
Yeah.
You hate 30-year-olds who say they're old.
Yes.
Actually, I kind of do too. I was with a friend.
You have so much time in life to be literally old.
Yes.
Don't claim you're old now. It's like how daddies are everybody over 24. No. It's not true. Yeah.
I think I was with a friend who was bemoaning their dating life and not having a man. And I looked at them and I said, baby, you are 28.
What?
I am 37. Okay.
We've watched men fall.
Okay, I'm Mrs. Havisham over here, okay? I am...
Pulling cobwebs off your shoulder.
I am that card game we used to play, Old Maid.
Yeah.
Do you remember Old Maid?
Oh, I played it all the time. Also, it's the insane idea that you would be stuck with a woman who is old. It's a card game based on, oh no, she has gray hair.
I used to think Old Maid just meant, like, Amelia Bedelia in her later years.
Uh-huh. It's not. No, it's a spinster, yes.
And what happened to her?
Amelia Bedelia? She misunderstood some idiom and was hit by a car.
That is...
They said, hit the road, and she's like, here I go.
She is one of my favorite pop culture references that
I don't
think is relevant anymore. No one Gen Z is going to know who the fuck Amelia Bedelia is, but you make that reference, and at least a millennial... will sort of laugh. That and she, I mean, the original Amelia Bedelia, Penelope Pitstop.
Oh, yes, right.
Being kidnapped.
The Wacky Races, right? No, nobody knows that show anymore. Hanna-Barbera is kind of, I guess there's still Scooby-Doo knowledge out there, but.
Yeah, but Jetsons, Flintstones are dead.
Yeah, right. It sucks.
White Women in Peril.
Yeah.
No one wants to watch those cartoons anymore.
I would think Gen Zers would at least appreciate that Amelia Bedelia was snatched. Please,
she was very skinny.
Tied up, motherfucker.
Yeah,
yeah.
That's why.
Do you like a fit?
That's why the bitch was clumsy.
Yeah,
she can breathe.
Yeah.
She was hungry.
Yes, right. One of the hungriest children's literature icons ever. Written by Peggy Parrish. I remember that. Okay, I feel like there was one more song. Oh, Olivia Rodrigo.
Yes.
What do you think of her new song?
I fucking love that song.
I think it's my favorite song of hers.
Yeah, Taylor Should Be Scared.
Yeah.
I'm kidding. I tweeted that Taylor Should Be Scared, and some faggot was all up in my mentions. And I was like, listen, I'm not actually saying that she should be shaking or that... Or that, you know, she's stealing her fan base. I'm just saying that we talked about it earlier where Taylor and Beyonce are accumulating new fans, obviously. But there's has to be, at some point, new guard, people who, you know, someone's going to come out at an Olivia concert in 20 years and sing happy birthday to her.
Yeah, right,
because
right.
Because the younger girls are getting into Olivia. And I just think that she has younger fans now. She's going to continue to accumulate fans. And she has older fans, too. I just think she's doing everything right now. Mm-hmm. And every fucking single has been a banger. And this is my favorite one yet.
We're talking about Bad Idea,
right?
Oh, yeah. My God. Also, I have to say, well, if we're going to compare it to Taylor, I'm going to go for it. You know what this song has that I feel like Taylor is always inching up towards the line of trying to achieve but then doesn't get it? Funny.
Yes.
You know, like I tripped and fell into his bed. Love that.
Olivia's a very funny writer, and I think she's also very savvy. I love that recent interview she did with The Guardian.
Mm.
Was just very open, revealing about a lot of things she'd gone through. She talked about how, you know, people were accusing her of stealing songs or, like, using melodies and stuff.
Oh, the Paramore business.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
But I think that... That is such a weird industry thing, too, that's happened recently, where people are taking these things as sort of the idea that someone is stealing.
Mm.
But Elvis Costello mentioned, I think, in an interview once that he was like, no, that's what fucking rock is.
Yeah, right.
You listen to shit. You listen to stuff. Yes. Mm-hmm. And you hear it, and then that's what is making you create rock music. Rock music is building on everything. You know?
I just want to say, by the way, that Elvis Costello seems really cool and should be on the show. Anyway, moving on. I wonder how Diana Krall is doing. They're still together.
I love Elvis Costello.
Yes, great. Great music. Also, I was going to say, do you know what is going to be video of the year, I think, though? This fucking Doja Cat thing.
Demons.
Guys, she fucking nailed it with this video.
I love her.
Yeah. Also, I love her. First of all, the look, she's dressed like a demon in the video.
Yeah.
The performance as the demon is a fucking scream. I mean, something is very wrong with Doja Cat and right. That's the critical mix.
I like it. I like Paint the Town Red, which I think is our first number one rap song by a female singer since Super Freaky Girl.
Jesus Christ.
Like a year.
Okay. Yeah, we need more of these per year.
Yeah. I didn't know where we were going with this because she's got the crazy boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And she's been a little extra online. Mm-hmm. But the music slaps, as always with Doja.
And also the whole verse where she's seemingly sassing some of her fans.
Yeah.
Really, I mean, like, I guess in rap music, that kind of attitude is familiar. But the way she delivers it is, again, drier than expected.
Yeah.
So it's really, it's funnier. Yeah. I don't know. She's very funny.
She's very funny. I think I like the era of funny. Mm-hmm. So.
Everybody be a little bit funny. That's all I have to ask.
Yeah.
I don't want to emphasize this for drag queens. Please always remember to be funny in addition to glamorous.
Did you hear the new Nicki single?
No.
Last time I saw you.
What do we think?
It's very tender, Nicki. I like it. I think it is. She's doing her singing thing again.
Oh.
Which I like.
Okay.
I think that she is going in a direction that is different from where everyone else is going. You know, she's trying to be, everyone's doing the hard rapping. You got Ice Spice, mm-hmm. you got Megan out here, you got Doja. And I think Nicki, I hope she's returning to a more pop space for Pink Print too.
I love the album cover.
Giving XCX World. Yeah. It's giving, she kills a visual.
A little bit the Janet Jackson All For You video.
Yes.
Yeah. Additionally, speaking of rappers and singing, stop me if I've asked this before. Because I always think about it, and I don't know the answer.
Mm-hmm.
Can Will Smith sing? Think of the choruses of his songs. He's not singing on them.
He doesn't.
You know, like the Patrice Rushen single, Men in Black. Like, he's not singing on the chorus. In Just the Two of Us, he's not singing in the chorus.
Yeah. I don't think he can sing.
I don't think he can sing either.
I wonder if there's an episode of Fresh Prince where he tries to sing.
There's got to be.
Yeah.
And Aunt Viv busts a move, I'm sure.
Only if it's original Aunt Viv.
Yeah. Karen Huber?
Yeah.
Is that her? No, Janet Huber.
Yes. Yeah, Janet Huber.
Yes.
The second
Karen Parsons, Janet Huber. Yes.
The second Aunt Viv, I don't think she was busting a move.
No.
Maybe busting unions.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
Busting
crossing a picket line, yeah. She's like, I'm going right in Culver City.
Busting into a conversation and censoring herself.
Yeah. Yes, correct.
We are getting this week a new Cardi single.
Oh, right. And it's with
Megan,
yes. Yeah. Oh, the Wopstresses.
It's called Bongos.
A-plus title. It's like Kim Petras' Coconuts, which, by the way, I think that may be one of the best singles of our time. Coconuts came on the other day, and it's just like that ingratiating, like, my coconut. It's so good. Yeah. And so funny. Naming
somebody
your tits, Mary-Kate and Ashley.
Somebody
on.
Clip that out. Yeah. You're doing that. Please.
Why did I do
Please.
That? There are cameras, Lewis.
You're just like,
I've learned
practical
nothing.
Practical magicking over here, because that's how you dance.
That movie sucks. When people defend that movie, I'm like, can you not see the TV? It's bad.
I famously remember the episode where we said Practical Magic was bad. People weren't happy.
Still coming back? Yeah. They're coming after us? Yeah.
We're turning into RuPaul's Drag Race at this point. We're just referencing old episodes all the time.
Yeah, right. We have nothing else. We've been trapped in this room. Yeah.
All right, that's the music.
Mm-hmm.
When we're back, we will be joined by Brittany Broski.
Thank you. Mom, can you tell me a story?
Sure. Once upon a time, a mom needed a new car.
Was she brave?
She was tired, mostly. But she went to Carvana.com and found a great car at a great price. No secret treasure map required.
Did she have to fight a dragon?
Nope. She bought it 100% online. From her bed, actually.
Was it scary?
Honey, it was as unscary as car buying could be.
Did the car have a sunroof?
It did, actually.
Okay, good story.
Car buying you'll want to tell stories about. Buy your car today on
Carvana.
Delivery fees may apply.
Evening. Buyer's remorse. Buy a new car? I'll be moving in. Let's get started.
Sorry, I think there's been a mistake. I bought it from Carvana.
You what?
Yeah, great price. I even have 7 days to love it or return it.
So there's no...
No buyer's remorse. More like buyer's rejoice.
I guess I'll let myself out. Congratulations. I mean it.
Buyers rejoice. Buy your car today on Carvana.
Limitations and exclusions may apply. See our 7-day return policy at Carvana.com.
Our guest today is one of your favorite TikTokers, comedians, content creators, and people in general. She's hilarious, and she's back with the Broski Report, her new podcast. Please welcome to Keep It, Brittany Broski.
I'm the live studio audience. I'm the only fan. Hi, team.
Hi.
It's so psyched to see you. So psyched to have you here.
It's nice to meet you. And also, I want to say that we have a mutual friend, Julian Buchan. Ooh. And he was telling me a story that I'm already jealous of, you know, about how he introduced you to Charlie XCX, who is my favorite pop star.
Bitch. And am I allowed to cuss?
Yes. Yes. I mean, you've met the queen. Please tell me about this.
Well, bitch, like, how do you move on? How is the life pre and post Charlie XCX is really the question. She was everything. We were, like, drunk at a party. Mm-hmm. And it was everything I wanted. He, like, introduced us, and she goes, "You're so funny." And then walks away. And I said... This is like if I met Obama, bitch. Yes. Like, I don't. She's my Obama. I don't give a fuck.
No, she asked me for a cigarette once outside of Akbar, and that was the only time I've met her.
Peak. You peaked.
Yeah.
I just watched another interview with you where you're talking about how it's actually daunting to meet all these people that you're fans of who obviously know you from your work. And like, are there interactions where like you kind of, even if somebody is totally nice, you wish they could have just stayed in the fame sphere? Like, you didn't have to actually get to know them?
Yes, literally. It's a weird thing, too, because it's like, when you're such a fangirl and, like, these people's art means so much to you, it's like the last thing you actually want is to be like, "Hi, I'm Brittany." You know, like, "Oh, you're a real person." Like, I don't ever want to make that connection. And it's weird how often it has happened. And it's been a very strange thing to grapple with, because it's like, I have tattoos for some of these people, and it's like, I don't want to know, like, you know, your eating habits and like how you wipe your ass. I don't need to know that. Like, I just love them so much. It is weird, you know, to think like, oh, they're working a job in the creative industry just like we are. Like, it's very strange, but yeah.
It's also probably weird, like, you know, because you're a performer or whatever, it's like, it's not even like they're meeting you and thinking, "Oh, this is a fun person." They're in a way thinking this is a colleague, right? We're all entertainers together. So it's a little bit like there's something, it's just not as fun, like your coworkers, so to speak, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I hate it. So hope that answers the question.
Okay, good.
Now, that is always a weird sensation. It reminds me of, I was reading an interview recently with Ayo Edebiri, and she talked about how she was at, I think, the Tribeca Film Festival, and someone had introduced her to Robert De Niro, and she was excited to see Robert De Niro, and Robert De Niro clearly doesn't know who the fuck she is. And she actually said she shocked him by being like, "You can actually go talk to someone you want to talk to now. It's okay. You don't have to entertain me because you don't know who I am."
Oh my God. No, that's weird too. The like, you have to act like you know everything about every person. It's like, that's not possible, girl.
Yeah.
She's so real. She's so real.
Also, a question I have about you is, I'm realizing like you came to the fore in 2019, which is not long ago at all. You're extremely popular. And I literally want to know, is it almost kind of depressing to be able to become successful that quickly? Like, oh, that's all it took? Like a couple of years of work?
Well, you know what? This is actually an interesting conversation because especially when it comes to traditional comedy, which I've done like live shows and things like that. I've tried stand up. It's not my passion and purpose in life. It's fun, but it's like, you know, for the people that do stand up, I have a lot of respect because it's a true art form. Like crafting of type five. Hey, you might as well be like carving something out of marble in my eyes. Like, and in the comedy scene, like the traditional comedy scene, I know that there's this weird power imbalance of like these people who have had to, you know, wait tables and like take ticket stubs at the door. They really resent the people that are coming from online and like have a built-in audience. Like they really resent it. And it's jealousy, of course, because it's like they've had to grind for 5, 10, 15 years for something that I could easily do, you know, in a year just from TikTok success. And that is a weird, like, you feel like you don't deserve it. And that's definitely the imposter syndrome, of course. That's something that I feel like every creative kind of goes through. But yeah, it's weird to be like, what did I ever do to deserve that? To deserve millions of eyes listening and watching. It's very dystopian when you kind of think about it.
And even, you know, the concept of TikTok, you know, walk me through what it's like for you when you are making content, you know, because obviously you make content that is, you can make sponsored content, you make content that's just for yourself. You know, do you enjoy making TikToks all the time? Do you enjoy watching them? Are you sort of like, it's work for me now?
Well, the thing is I have a crippling addiction to my phone. So from that, the best content I make is born from when I'm sitting on the toilet. And in that sort of sense is, tea. You know, I'm tapping into my creative tank. So I think like I enjoy making content most of the time. Mm-hmm. There are times that it feels like a chore or like, hey, the last thing I want to do right now is be funny. Because there's that weird misconception online of like, if you're a funny person, you're always happy and you're always funny. And if you're not, it's like, oh, what do you mean? Like, are you ungrateful? Like, and it's like this sort of dog pile thing of like, guys, I'm having a tough time. You know, it's like, shut up. And I get that because it's like, what are you complaining about? But it's a very strange thing to A, not want this, you know, not to come from a place of like, I want to be famous. Mm-hmm. It's like, I was just kind of making videos to make my friends laugh. And then the B side of that is like, what do you do with all that attention? It's kind of daunting. It's like, as a creative or a funny person, of course I love attention because I like to make people laugh. But there comes a time where it's like, oh, fuck. What do you mean 7 million people are like watching these videos? That's crazy. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, I think that especially when it comes to the sponsored content, in the very beginning, I was like, oh, my God, how is this real? You know, like brands are reaching out being like, I love what you're doing. Can you incorporate our product in just what you're doing? Mm-hmm. Because in the very beginning, people didn't really know how to do TikTok ads. You know, it was like I did one with Crocs and they were like, just kind of do what you want. And I was like, period. And like, that's the best, but it's almost too much freedom versus the flip side where like, when you do a scripted ad read, it's like, this is just, it's necessary to put kind of food on the table because I'm a walking billboard and I have to do that to do what I actually want to do. But yeah, it's very weird. It feels like I'm whoring myself out sometimes to corporate America. But I mean, what can you do?
I love laying down for corporate America.
Oh, yeah. Okay. They get it. They get it. Yeah.
Call me pretty woman. Yeah.
I feel validated by the 9 to 5. I really do.
Now, of course, you were hilarious anyway, but something I love about you is the rapport you have when I'm watching you work with other comics. There's a very famous video where Trixie Mattel gives you a makeover, and she just did it again recently. Who are the people, I guess, when you're performing with or talking with where you feel even funnier? Like, who are the like people where that bring the best out of you, do you think?
You know, it is like, I mean, because here's the thing. Trixie is rotted, gutted, terrible, awful. But having said all that, like hard to look at even. having said all that, I do think that it's one of life's true gifts to like meet someone who can go toe to toe with you, like wit wise and comedy wise. And just, you have to be so smart to be that funny. And I don't think people give Trixie her flowers enough for that. That is a smart bitch. Her and Katya both. And it's such a, one of life's joys to be able to banter with someone who is that funny, that successful, that like, but also very real. You know, like one, her biggest gag is that she makes fun of herself so you can make fun of herself. And I've always kind of had that shtick as well, where it's like, that's how you set people at ease. And so to find people who are that level of successful, who are still just like very normal people is really, really nice. And it is. I do feel in those moments, it's like, shit, she's so, am I keeping up? And then I watch the video back and I'm like, oh, bitch, I kept up. I'm like, it's really, it's so much fun.
Who do you find funny? You know, what do you like to consume? Like, who do you like to watch? Who are your go-tos that you're always returning to?
Well, I grew up with, like, that's kind of one set of people. And then another set of people is kind of, it's more so the content I watch, quote unquote, on like YouTube. Because I don't really watch like Netflix stand-up specials and stuff like that. I think that a lot of the time those are, it's kind of antiquated, especially the subject matter they talk about. It's like, I don't find one night stands funny. Like, I really don't. Like, I've heard about it, girl.
I think that is the main,
a vagina.
I think that is the main challenge of stand-up, is finding topics that we have not talked about 25,000 times. That's very hard.
Yeah. Trans rights.
There we go. Yeah.
I mean, but like an original take on something as well is like, you know, you're very right. I grew up with, honest to God, and this is, I hate to admit it, a lot of men. It was like Jim Carrey, Steve Carell, and not even like those comics, but like just funny men in Hollywood. Like Ocean's 11 is one of my favorite movies. And that's like George Clooney, Brad Pitt, Matt Damon, you know, that sort of like, just, they're really witty people. And I grew up and I was like, I can do that. And so that's kind of my main inspiration. And then, of course, the gay community and my gay friends kind of in middle school, high school, college really were the only ones that could keep up with me and I could go toe-to-toe with them. And it's sort of this flow of comedy and information, too, of like, I'm making you laugh and you're making me laugh and we're learning from each other. It's just a beautiful thing. And so to come out to West Hollywood and meet these bitches, and it's like, they're so funny. It's like, it's every day they're very inspiring for me. So a lot of the Drag Race girls, honestly, are some of my close friends, and that's crazy. Because I would lay in my bed in high school and watch and be like, oh, I love them. And now it's like, she's begging me for a YouTube video, bitch. She needs me so bad. Whatever, girl.
I can't believe that show's been going on that long, but it has. Wow. It's like an institution now. Yeah.
It's like, it's like, come up with something to say already now.
Yeah.
You know?
Get to the point.
Yeah, get to the point. Yeah. You've been saying for a long time.
Wake up. Yeah.
It's, wake up, America.
It's funny you bringing up, even, you know, Jim Carrey, because I'm thinking too, you know, particularly with us, watching those movies as a kid, those are obviously films that inspired a generation of people wanting to be funny. Just watching Jim Carrey make faces. Yeah. I was seeing a clip from Liar Liar was going viral recently.
So good.
And just watching him making faces, reacting with his body in a movie is very entertaining.
Yeah.
It is. And it's not this like Lele Pons Vine humor of like, I'm going to run into a glass door and like, that's the bit. It's like he used his physical comedy to enhance his, you know, like word.
Yes.
Word comedy. What? I just woke up, guys. He used his physical comedy to enhance, you know, like what he already, the joke structure. And I think that him and Will Ferrell are just so important to like the early to late 2000s, like before the 2010s, of like my formative years as a child, I was like, this is comedy, bitch. Like, who's doing it like these white men? I not a single other person.
Does that mean you watch people like that and also think like, oh, I could act too? Like, how much does the acting world speak to you in general?
Well, me as a 12-year-old, I was like, the world's my oyster. I can do anything. Acting, no. I would love to do, like, voice acting. Mm-hmm. I've always wanted, like, what Olaf was to Frozen. You know, yeah. Like, Josh Gad as Olaf. I would love to do something like that. Mm. Of, like, you walk into Walmart and you see that character on a backpack for children, and it's like, I made it. I'm getting the royalty checks, girl. That's kind of how I envision. But stage acting and, like, screen acting, not particularly. What about y'all?
Me, if it was tailor made for me, like literally it has to be like, you know, a thin, grousing fag, you know, and a mean person. Yeah.
I've done voice acting I wrote for the Netflix show Q-Force, and I did voice acting for that. And I've done on screen appearances before too. It's something that I enjoy because I grew up in theater, but I still sort of prefer writing to
some people just like actors like operate. Like if you watch people on set, it's like this is like a mutant skill set. It's not normal to just go launch
I'm
into something.
Yeah. Yes. I literally the other day I saw a clip came across my TikTok feed, and it was like the final episode of Game of Thrones. Mm. And it was people acting, like obviously the cast acting, and how they go from like stone face to sobbing, crying, mourning the death of like your closest castmate, and then it's like cut. You know, and it's like how do you do that?
You're right.
Like,
it's weird.
Actors are crazy. But I was a musical theater kid as well. Mm-hmm. And I remember like what a rush. Like being on the stage is something totally different than like when I've done sort of scripted acting stuff. It's like,
which shows?
This isn't as fun. Well, girl, I did Spam a lot.
Okay, we stand. Yes. Okay. Shay Diaz original
content.
Yes. Love it. I did Adam's Family musical.
Okay.
I did...
Who'd you play?
The grandma, of course.
Oh, you are bringing the fresh young Carol Kane to me. Yes, yeah. Yes, that's what we love.
Do you mean it?
Yeah.
Thank you. Yeah. Stop. Yeah, it was a lot of fun. And then we did like serious ones like The Crucible and shit like that. But I wasn't.
Let me tell you something.
Lighting my soul on fire.
Yeah. I fucking hate The Crucible.
I don't like it either. I don't like the Daniel Day-Lewis movie either.
It is boring. Yeah. Arthur Miller... It's got a lot of flops.
Yeah, that's true.
Okay.
A lot of flops.
And he wrote a lot of goddamn plays.
That's true.
Okay.
Yes.
Busy fucking Marilyn Monroe and just writing awful plays.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Well, and she put him on too.
She
no
sure did. Okay.
Miller girl.
Baby. Okay. You actually, but from that era, behind every male playwright is a like starlet Bunch who show. Put them on.
That's right. There it is.
Period.
Yeah.
Also, I want to say you're one of the few people I can think of who you truly have a stage name. Like, and like, I would like
yeah.
Like, okay, Broski. I understand that that's like a familiar, you know, like the way you would call someone like Jabroni or something. You know, whatever. Heterosexuals, they have fun too. but like, how did you arrive at that name? Because it's so right, and yet I don't think to myself, oh, it's obviously like, you know, this here's a TikToker with her cutesy name.
Right, my alias. Please, like, respect my privacy. the real story, and it's not funny at all or whatever, is it was, like, sixth grade, and it was my Twitter handle.
Oh.
So I was, like, 11, 12, 13 years old, and I was, like...
Tweeting at 13.
What's something... Oh, I've been on the internet sharing my thoughts for way too long. My original Twitter handle was JB Lova Forever, Justin Bieber, of course.
Mm.
And then when I was like, we're in middle school now, girl, it's time to get serious. And so I came up with Brittany Broski, like bro, like exactly like you said, because I wanted to fit in so bad. And now I just kind of never changed it. And it's proven to be this like really nice sort of, not character, but... a persona I can slip into and still maintain, you know, like my government name on the side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's honestly like the biggest blessing that 13-year-old me, I was thinking, girl, I was like, stage name.
Now, did you consider legal action against Billy Eichner for bros?
Yes.
You know, right.
How targeted did you seem? Yeah.
I can't talk about it. We're in negotiations. Thank you.
Wow.
Yeah.
Thank you for being here.
Oh my God, Brittany, what a pleasure.
Yeah.
Thank you guys. Yeah,
delightful. Delightful.
Oh my God, y'all are so fun.
Yeah, I love that we've both met the queen, Charlie. So that's, we're bonded for life.
And I see that Alien Superstar t-shirt.
Oh, thank
bitch.
You. I was at the show last night.
Oh, and I don't want to like overwhelm this with Beyonce talk.
We can. I was.
Were you Club Renaissance?
I was Club Renaissance. Got my wristband on still.
Oh, period. And it's not coming off. That's going to smell like pickles by the end of the week.
Third time at the show.
You went all three nights?
No. So I used to live in LA, but I live in New York currently. I came back for this show. The first two I saw were in Amsterdam.
Okay, period.
Yeah. It was nice to see it with a U.S. audience. Because let me tell you, the Dutch were just standing there and...
Right.
Probably stoned. You know, just vibing.
Clogs
you know?
Are heavy. Clogs okay. are heavy.
But yeah. people were yes. hype last
that,
night.
No, and it was like the birthday show.
Yes.
And it was, I saw so, like signs, people make those signs.
Yes.
All of them were like, shut the fuck up when she says everybody on me. I was like, thank God we're kind of spreading the word. It was so much fun. I'm beehive to my fucking core. I have a 4 tattoo. Like,
okay, you know good like, albums.
Yeah.
Yes.
Thank you.
Yes.
Because oh, 4 I love to.
Yeah.
She did Rather Die Young.
Yes.
And I just about fell out, bitch. Yeah. Like, it is so... How do you cram 25 years of good music into mm-hmm. 3 hours? She performed for 3 hours.
Yeah.
I could talk about it for hours.
It was amazing.
Wait, before we let you go, what other tattoos do you have? You mentioned having kind of icons on your body.
I have, how much time do you have? Yeah. I've got a Stones tattoo.
Well, she just revealed what I'm going to call the buyer tapestry. There's like 100 things on her arms.
That is actually the book that you get when you go to the tattoo parlor. Yeah. Which one would you like?
Yeah. I went up to an artist and he was like, here's my flash. I said, I'll take them all.
Wow, Rolling Stones. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I love the Stones. I've got a 1975 tattoo. Mm. Are y'all Rosalia fans? I've got
yes,
a
Rosalia yes, tattoo. Yes.
Wait, what's your favorite Rolling Stones song?
Favorite Rolling Stones song, either Midnight Rider or... I don't know, girl. Wild Horses. I know it's
great
like...
Great song, yes.
I mean, it's a classic and so many people have covered it, but I don't... They have the best cover because it's their fucking song.
Oh, right, right.
I have so many. I'm a Beatles girl, too. Mm-hmm. But the Multiple Mommy one's one of my most recent ones because she, like... Rosalia is on the way to becoming, like, legendary status, I think.
Yeah.
My humble
She's blossoming.
Opinion.
Like yes, a rose.
There you yes. are. She's the kind of person where, like, she'll be on, like, the lineup for an award show, and, like, I forget to think about it, and then I'm like, oh, wait, that was the best part of the whole award show.
Exactly!
Yeah.
Exactly. Yeah. I love her to death.
My favorite Rolling Stones song is Emotional Rescue, by the way.
Okay. So are you okay? Yeah.
This is me reaching out. Thank you. Yeah.
I love it.
Unwell. Thank you so much.
Yeah. I mean, listen, I've got Hall & Oates. I've got Prince.
Period, bitch. Yeah. Are you a Steely Dan girl?
We were just talking about Steely Dan. Can't buy a thrill, good
listen,
album.
Listen, one yes. thing about me is I'm gonna be up in that Steely Dan concert.
Mm-hmm. Oh, Ricky, don't lose that number. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. Ricky, don't lose that number. Oh my God, I love like that whole era of music too. I feel like such a white dad when I talk about it. And then I find like, everyone loves that
yes.
music.
Yeah. You are exactly it's right. Good. It's music everybody likes. Like Michael McDonald. Yes. Like everybody loves Michael McDonald.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Michael Bolton.
Yeah.
Get
yeah.
into Michael Bolton, girl.
Maybe. I mean, I can go the distance.
Yeah.
Okay.
There it is. Yeah, yeah.
Come on.
George on my mind. Every night. I love him.
Brittany, you're iconic. You're iconic. I love it. Thank you so much for being here.
Y'all are so sweet.
Yeah.
And you got me up at the butt crack of dawn, 10:30 a.m.
Yeah.
See, that is why I like living in New York. I record this podcast much later
yeah,
in the
right.
afternoon.
Yep. Oh, my God. Well, thank you so much. Yeah. This is so sweet.
All right. Come back sometime soon. Thanks yeah. again so much.
Will do. My lawyers will reach out. Thank you so much.
Once you get through the Billy.
They'll reach out sternly.
You get through the Billy negotiations, yeah. then talk to us. Yeah.
We'll try.
Yeah. Okay, we are back. First of all, I'm drinking a Snapple.
Yeah.
And I know we complained about this, I feel like a few weeks ago, about how it doesn't have the glass bottles anymore, mm-hmm. which used to be cunt. And yeah. now I hate that. But they do still have the facts.
Okay, good.
And
I'd love to learn.
The first TV remote control introduced in 1950 was called Lazy Bones.
I may have even known that. If you gave me multiple choice, I probably would have had that.
Yeah. Sounds like a pup named Scooby-Doo villain.
Yeah.
But
I picture a skeletal version of Scrappy-Doo. Yeah.
Ugh. Remote controls. Can I say?
Yes.
I remember the era where we didn't have remote controls.
Necessarily.
You had to go and change the buttons on the TV yourself. It was hard work.
I also want to say that I had some TV in my basement for a while where I don't know if you had to adjust the antenna, but like it was, the reception could change based on the way something was.
The adjusting it, the antenna era was a dark time.
No.
Or you're banging the TV.
Yeah. Banging the TV.
Yeah.
That is exactly the kind of TV I'm talking about.
Yeah.
Which makes me feel 177 years old.
Banging the TV and then you're watching something and it's just going out and it's, you know, it's, there's static and everything. It was hard to watch shit then.
Also, how old are we? It feels like I'm talking about watching Texaco Star Theater in 1949.
I was firing up Petticoat Junction.
Yeah, right. Waiting for the fireside chat to begin.
Speaking of watching things, what have we been watching?
Well, let me just say, the game show Only Connect is back, which is my favorite UK game show. I've talked about it years ago on the Keep It, but
I don't listen. So yeah. tell me again.
it's hosted by Victoria Coren Mitchell, who I think is the wittiest and best game show host we have. It's a show where you have to figure out what four seemingly unrelated things have in common.
Mm.
And it can be, I mean, you would think like that's not a very interesting conceit. You are racking your brain like the people, like there's teams of three and they're sitting there trying to figure out and if they can do it with just a couple of clues, they get more points. If it takes all four clues, they get fewer points. It is the most addictive show you will ever watch. It is a full half hour. And for years, they stopped uploading episodes to YouTube and they just started up again. And I am like a full like drugstore cowboy like addict for this show. So fabulous, fabulous. In terms of shows that are
four things.
Go ahead.
Cricket Media.
Yes.
Pharrell.
Yes.
Obama.
Oh, I've got it. White people can't get enough.
Hitler.
Nailed it.
No, those are the four things.
Okay.
You have to figure out how they're connected. And I will reveal it later in the show.
Oh, my God. I'm solving. I'm only going to get 1 point since I need all four clues.
That's a little tease.
Yes. All right. All right. All right. I hope it's fashion. Coming soon, we'll see. Do you know what I am watching right now? And this is a genre of TV I don't often think I need because I'm not somebody who... You know how like when people describe why they like Schitt's Creek, they're like, I really like this show, it's funny. And then I can also like do things around the house while it's on. It's like, well, then you're not watching the TV show, so what's wrong with you?
That's how I watch Days of Our Lives.
Okay, oh, okay. See, I don't have that.
I don't care about Rafe Hernandez, right. And I never have. Get him off my fucking TV, if you're listening.
So my version of that is... I love the show. I think it's hilarious. But then also if I walk into another room and I'm just hearing it, it's equally funny. Platonic with Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne, a very dynamic duo. I just want to also
say— Is this on Apple?
Yes. When I moved to LA, I saw a taping of The Tonight Show with Conan O'Brien, and the guests were Seth Rogen and Rose Byrne. If I had known they would be on this TV show all these years later, I wouldn't have made any money. It's not that interesting.
You could have gone up to them and said—
Look. Yeah. In my hood and turban, gone up to him and said, you will be on a TV show at Apple Plus.
We have had neither of them on this show.
And Rose Byrne, I mean, as gay people, part of your job is to remind people she can do anything.
Yeah.
You know, even now, you know, once upon a time it was like, oh yeah, she was hilarious in Bridesmaids, or she really held her own against Glenn Close on Damages. But then over the years, it's like, oh wait, she was fucking amazing on Spy.
Yeah.
You know, and she's accumulated all these great credits.
I didn't watch Physical. I'm part
which
of the
people
problem.
Love. People canceled. Love that show. Yes, yeah. Yes. But on this show, she and Seth Rogen have a very casual rapport. I'm a big fan
of platonic rapport.
Yes, that's right. Yeah. Right, you're understanding the premise of the show. She on the show is married to Luke McFarlane, who we last saw in the movie Bros.
But he's gay.
Can you believe this? He plays straight.
Oh my God.
Do you like progress? Because you're getting it here.
I think straight actors should play straight roles.
Oh, my. Right. You are, is that also progressive?
I think so. I'm third wave gay progressive.
Sure. Yeah. Gloria Steinem is kind of disowning you a little bit. Yeah. All right. Seth Rogen also. Can I say, for as long as he's been famous, this man is not very old. He's like 42 or 41.
Yeah, he and Beyonce are the same age, I believe.
Yeah, I think she's born in 81 and he's born in 82, but they're around the same age. And you know I'm obsessed with years. I think I'm right. And by the way, I'm right.
He's 82.
Yeah, imagine me not knowing that.
I also always forget that he is Canadian.
Oh, right. Yes, he is Canadian. When funny people are Canadian, it's just correct. You know, like Martin Short. Where else could he be from? It's either Canada or Mars.
Also, he's a great everything. Yes. I feel like cool he's person. So fucking funny, cool person, and he like acts very well too. Like not just funny, but like he was great in The Fablemans.
Do you know what he was really good in? And this is a movie I hate, but he was great in it. Steve Jobs.
Oh, yeah, he was great though.
He was
I forgot
Steve
about that fucking
Wozniak?
Movie.
Yeah, right. Yeah.
That's the Steve Jobs was the
Michael Fassbender.
The Michael Fassbender one. And Jobs was the Ashton Kutcher, right?
Correct. Where his mom was played by Leslie Ann Warren.
Yeah. One at a time.
Yes. And the Ashton Kutcher one outgrossed the Michael Fassbender one.
Oh, well, I don't find that hard to believe.
Yeah. It's just
we love Ashton Kutcher.
Yes. Right. And all of his credits in the past 10 years, which is just that.
Baby, all I do is watch The Ranch, okay?
Remember when we put Deborah Winger on that?
I'm Home on the Range.
Yeah. Right, that was a multicam on Netflix. We tried that. Okay, great.
I can't wait till we get Bezos and Jeff Bezos and who's playing that bald bitch?
Oh, God. Well, anybody can be bald, so it really can be any. It can be anybody from, like, Johnny Depp on down to, you know, Saoirse Ronan.
Yeah, well, I'm not watching that.
Okay.
Either. Saoirse playing Jeff Bezos is sort of like a, it's like that Bob Dylan movie.
Oh, I'm not there, right?
Yeah.
You know why I thought of Saoirse? Because I think I had heard she was originally up to play Sinead O'Connor in like a biopic. I think just of the part of her life where she ripped up the picture of the Pope. But I always thought that was a weird fit. I mean, I guess they're both Irish, but she can do anything.
That's the entire movie.
Yes.
By the way, it's just the SNL performance. It's very Frost Nixon.
Yeah. Just like, yeah, scene for scene. It's, yeah.
I'm thinking who else was on that episode of SNL with Sinead O'Connor? And it's Tim Robbins.
Wow. He must have been promoting The Player around then, I think.
Yeah.
Movie I just rewatched, weirdly.
The Cold Open was a spoof of Ross Perot's 1992 United We Stand America campaign.
Oh, how strange. Tim Robbins, I believe I was told this recently, our tallest Oscar winner. Because he's 6'5", I think. Maybe even taller. Yeah.
Remember Dead Man Walking?
I do. He directed it, yes.
Yeah. Awful play.
Is it a play?
I think it was a play and then it became a film.
Oh, okay. Interesting.
It's sort of Larrabee Project-y.
Oh, I got it. Mm-hmm.
Sister
Helen Prejean, I believe, still on Twitter.
She is.
Yeah.
I think she responded to a tweet of mine once.
Oh, that's bone chilling.
Yeah. I was saying something, I forget what, this is years ago, but yeah, she likes to tweet.
Yeah. No, these people are out there, you know?
Yeah. The original Kim Kardashian.
Yes. He's bringing people out of prison. Yes, yeah. That's right. What have you been watching, if anything, recently?
Girl, I have been watching nothing.
Been watching that mouth? No.
Okay, Graham.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know, I was on Delta coming here. And
God, I love watching things on planes.
And
love
I was
it.
Picking a film. And I was going to watch You Hurt My Feelings.
Oh, yes. Good movie.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
B-plus range for me.
But instead, I watched Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 3.
Oh, well, a classic double feature.
A one feature. First of all, Delta was getting me drunk.
Oh, you
don't
say.
I passed out twice during the movie.
Oh, that's glamorous.
I did like the movie, though. But I passed out twice because I was drunk. I put a photo of this on Twitter, but It was giving very Blockheads, this old restaurant in New York, which closed. They served my drink like this.
Oh, like Your Honor, at a resort.
Yes.
The little gray goose bottle is upside down in the glass.
In
here.
The glass, yeah. Yes. So I was lit.
They were like, you'll be asleep soon.
Yeah.
It may as well have been a hypnotist who came and gave you a drink.
I liked it. I liked the movie. I think that it it got me out of Marvel's flop era, which has been in, and I had a good time. I had a good time. It's very emotionally manipulative.
No, wait. Is The Flash Marvel?
No, baby. What's going on here?
Girl, I can't put them together. They're all wearing spandex to me.
The Flash. Oh, I did watch The Flash, by the way.
Ezra Miller and The Flash, they were, I don't want to say funny because like there were lots of funny lines that didn't land, but I did think there was a charisma there that I have to give them credit for, even though the movie is a mess and all over the place. But I also find that all of those movies are a mess and all over the place.
The movie was wacky.
Yeah.
There's a lot going on. Two different Flashes playing against themselves.
I thought the dorky diorama where they go back in time and you watch the, I thought that didn't work either.
Yeah. Also, Gal Gadot appearing.
Yeah, on that bridge.
The least charismatic actor we've ever had.
Mm. You know what? I'm going to think about that because I do feel like maybe we can get a top 100 together.
Okay, yeah. Giving very...
Kate Bosworth, I'm thinking of you.
Giving very Pia Zadora.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. Just Star of Butterfly, yes.
Just sigh, I'm late. And then you just hear the Wonder Woman theme.
She's not Hungarian. She had fangs suddenly.
she's hungry for bloodlust. Someone commented when we were doing the Q&A a few weeks ago, asked me, when are you all going to watch Heart of Stone and review it? Bitch, you think I'm that bored?
Heart of Stone, first of all, a lovely Cher song. Second of all, I don't know what that is.
That Gal Gadot film on Netflix.
Oh, got it. Right, right, right.
I don't want to watch that woman act.
That's in the category of movies I'll never see, like The Gray Man.
Yeah. Although I will say that I like The Gray Man.
Oh, yeah? Something you would watch. Yeah. And then I hear about it a little bit, and I'm like, good for him.
I will say, though, that I am looking forward to that Snow White adaptation that she's going to be in with Rachel Zegler, because I feel like that is going to be a mess. That is going to be a, to borrow something from our past, a hot mess.
Oh, sure. Yes, yes. By the way, I know people got flipped out at Rachel Zegler. I don't know if we talked about this on the show.
I like her.
Excuse me, I like her. And also what she said was, I wasn't attached to Snow White. It wasn't that interesting a story. Guys, it's not.
Listen.
People are flipping out.
Into every generation, an Anne Hathaway is born. And I think that people are doing to her what they did to Anne. Because making fun of her at first for not getting invited to the Oscars. Tweeting about it and then getting invited. They're also sort of mad at her, I guess, because she was in a film with Ansel Elgort, which who cares?
Yeah, right, right. He's around.
Great movie.
Oh, you mean West Side Story?
Yeah.
Yes. Uh-huh. Unfortunately, I thought he was good in West Side Story.
He was great.
Yeah.
He's always good.
I don't know about that.
Baby Driver?
He's pretty good in that. When people dance like that and it's a lot of shuffling, I get nervous for Caucasian people.
That's what you do.
Yeah. I mean, not like that. No. I would say the piano scene in Big has a little bit more rhythm than he did in that movie. Penny Marshall has more rhythm than he does.
That's fair. You sort of dance like Uma Thurman in Pulp Fiction.
I'm a little bit more... Well, first of all, it's very hips and ass oriented. I make friends easily, is all I'll say.
What else are we watching?
Oh, yeah. Have you seen any TV show in the past, whatever?
Besides Days of Our Lives?
No.
And Big Brother? That's all I do.
Oh, yeah. Big Brother
is on. Yeah. Oh, that is why I have not watched anything, by the way. Big Brother is on constantly.
I also forget that, by the way, Big Brother really replaces Drag Race for us. It becomes the all-consuming reality show we take in, and like it's all you're talking about with people, and you meet up with your friends to watch it and stuff.
Let me tell you something. Cerie Fields, her son, Jared, sucks.
He has like fallen off. But we were endeared to him because Siri, who is a Survivor legend, now playing on Big Brother, and immediately capable of playing this game, like really operating well, making the right alliances, telling her son when to shut the fuck up. And her son is in the house, and most of the house doesn't know that they're related.
Yeah.
Yes, and now he had a very sexual moment with another cast member named Blue, who another disappointment this season.
Yeah.
Go through the reasons he blows currently.
They had sex, which is whatever.
Yeah.
But he leading up to that, he kept asking her about her body count, which is a thing that straight men do, apparently. Mm. And it does not involve people you've murdered.
No. I don't like...
Mine's
like,
three.
Words like body count, it's very... I don't mean to say this glibly, but like incel world. I hate hearing about shit like that. Yeah.
So asking about that, and he also said the R word in the house.
Oh, God. Oh, right.
My favorite word, actually. Raconteur. Remember the Raconteurs?
Oh, first of all, the band. Yes. Second of all, in like 2010, when like every celebrity actor joined Twitter, the fifth thing in their profile would be Raconteur. And it's like, Jane Lynch, tell me one time you told me a story. Tell me one time. Like a fancy word for it. I'm on the television. Yeah.
Yeah, he said, you know, the R word slur. And
which is interesting because we had a cast member already eliminated for muttering a racial slur, the main racial slur.
Yeah.
And now there's questions about what should be done about saying this word. I would say they're not comparable and he should just apologize. But
yeah. Because one of them, you know, is an insult for me. And the other one is just what I am.
We'll let the viewers decide. You left it up to
choose your own adventure.
Yes, Jesus Christ.
How about you tell me?
It's important you to decide. Cancel yourselves sometime before you speak. But yeah, no, I mean, like, I will say Big Brother is this weird show where, like, sometimes the season just straight up doesn't matter. And then other times, like, an alchemy occurs where more people get involved and you have to watch and you're impressed by the gameplay. And I think there's enough going on that this is one of the more solid seasons other than Series Sun sucking.
And Cameron, who is creepy as hell and obsessed with America.
Another cast member. America.
The country. Yes, the country. Yeah. And also America, the cast member.
Yeah.
It's giving shades of BB16, where Caleb was obsessed with Amber.
Right. Yes.
Oh, and she wasn't into him, and she essentially just got voted out because of that.
Right. There should be a definitive, like, BuzzFeed-type list of Big Brother cast members who suck, though. Because
I ranked them once upon a time for BuzzFeed.
All the cast members?
I did.
Wow.
A long time ago.
Wish for something and that you had actually done it is... simply horrifying.
Okay, so this was 2015.
Okay.
And this was through season 16. And I put Danielle Reyes from season 3 as the best player.
Oh, got it.
Because she should have won.
Mm-hmm. And is that June season? No.
No, that's season...
4.
June of season 4.
Yeah, right.
Yes. Danielle Reyes played in season 3 and All-Stars. She plays second in season 3 because... that was in the era where they used to show people their diary room confessionals, and they knew that she was playing them all the whole time.
Right. So
and they were upset about it.
The production treated her unfairly. Yes, correct.
After that, I had put Dan Giesling.
Oh, right.
Dr. Will.
Yeah, these are classics.
Janelle.
Mm-hmm.
And then Danielle Donato.
Yeah. Danielle Donato, who I've hung out with 2 times. Lovely. Yeah. Loved her. So much fun.
Her father, demonic.
The worst.
Yeah, demonic. Yes.
Never want him spoken of again.
Ever.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's like Mr. Mixelflake.
Oh, God.
That's a Superman reference.
Yeah, I needed to not ask about that.
He's Marvel.
Okay. I'm sure. Yes. Brandon Routh, fellow University of Iowa alum.
What happened to her?
I would love to know. Remember the show Partners with Michael Urie?
Yeah.
He was on that. Mm-hmm. And so was NeNe Leakes. No, she was on The New Normal. There were 2 gay shows at one time.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let me stop that.
Mm.
Yeah.
Anyway.
That's what we're watching. Any other recommendations? Can you believe we host this show? They got to stop us.
We will be right back with our favorite segment of the episode, Keep It. And we are back with our favorite segment of the episode. It's Keep It. Lewis, yes. I'm going to let you go first.
Oh, my God. One of the nicest things you've ever done or said. My Keep It this week is going to be brief. And it is in keeping with, I think, my past 4 Keep Its or something. Keep it to the phrase spooky season. Motherfuckers, I do not want you to say spooky season to me. What does that mean?
It's spooky season.
Yeah, see?
Spooky season.
I'm getting mad. from like September 1st to October 31st, we've adopted this phrase for, I guess, the anticipation for Halloween. Number one, I just don't anticipate Halloween that much. I find it more stressful. The preparation for it, I find stressful. And I just want to say about the Renaissance tour, too.
How is it stressful? You have three Halloween costumes.
That's what
you,
I mean.
That you cycle through every year.
That's what I mean. Like,
Christopher Robin this year?
I avoid the rush.
Or a baseball player this year?
Or a Street Fighter character. That's it. Those are my three. I just want to say, first of all, so I find getting ready for Halloween stressful. I have to say, looking at the costumes for Renaissance Tour, I know people sort of like ragged on certain people for looking cheap or whatever. For the most part, people fucking brought it to that tour.
Yeah.
I mean, not only did you have to have a look, you basically had to have an outfit concept. Yeah. It wasn't just, oh, I'm putting on like a good looking dress. Like people had like, anyway, I just think that was a bold undertaking for the entire world to get into the Renaissance Tour and look amazing. So
thank
congrats
you.
To them. Yes.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Oh, yeah, you did go, didn't you?
Yes.
Yeah. All right. I hate when I accidentally compliment you. But anyway, yeah, spooky season. It's just, it reeks of immaturity. It reeks of, it's too cute. It's too cloying. And also, let's just confine Halloween to October. And also, by the way, September is a summer month.
It is.
Still is summer here.
It is.
You walk outside, it is summer.
You would not know it from every person on Instagram doing their last of summer grid posts. Baby, summer September 21st.
Yes, please.
Earth, Wind, and Fire. That's why they said, do you remember? Because the girls don't remember. They've been saying it for years, but they don't know.
It was the first song about long COVID. Like, the girls don't remember what's going on with September. Speaking of that, by the way, did you know that in that song, September, which goes, Badia said that you remember Badia dancing in September, they had always intended to put words there, like Badia, but it sounded so good, they just let it go. So anyway, it's like you're listening to a rough draft of a song that they just stuck with.
An Ava Max song.
Yeah.
Speaking of Earth, Wind, and Fire, they are on Victoria Monet's new album. And when we were talking about new music, I neglected to bring up Jaguar and Jaguar 2, her new album. Fucking amazing.
Oh,
I
great.
Love the song On My Mama. All Right is a great song. She's a good singer.
Also, Earth, Wind,
good
and
singer,
Fire.
Good singer, good performer.
For them. Yeah.
Young singer.
Yeah. You're getting into the Aretha compliments now. All right.
Earth, Wind, and Fire get around. They've been on a Meghan Trainor album.
Oh, have they?
Her Christmas song called Holiday. It's actually really fucking good.
Oh, no. It's like for a while, Iggy Pop would be on everybody's album. Like he'd work with Kesha and he'd work with Kylie Minogue and just whatever.
I think that song is on my Spotify playlist. Meghan Trainor has a couple bops. And I think there are only two songs on it.
Okay.
Yeah.
No, I was just thinking about, oh, did I bring up Bonnie McKee recently? She has a new song called Hot City. Bonnie McKee is the songwriter who, red haired girl, and she wrote lots of Katy Perry songs. She wrote Dynamite by Tayo Cruz. She's sort of like this generation's Kara DioGuardi or something.
Dynamite by Tayo Cruz.
Yes, but like hits, right? Not my jam, but somebody's. She has come back. She had great songs years ago, like American Girl. She had an EP with lots of great songs like Wasted Youth and Easy. She has a new song called Hot City that I fucking love. It's like if classic Katy Perry were back. That's what it's like.
I've been to her home twice. She's never been there.
Good home?
Great home.
Yeah.
People who are friends of her throw parties there, and she's not there.
I feel like she was friends with Sam Lansky, and I would see her through him sometimes.
I'm like, why love am Bonnie I McKee. At Bonnie McKee's house and she's not here? What's going on?
Yeah. Weird.
Bonnie McKee, I've been in your home. You were in my home. You touched my child.
Anyway, that's me in spooky season and how I don't like it.
Okay.
Ira, you have a very complicated keep it, it seems.
I do.
Let's hear it.
I'm going to give you the connection now.
Okay.
Of
Crooked Media,
Barack Obama, Pharrell, and Hitler.
Happy things.
In my keep it. Which I just discovered recently. Because I was looking up Madonna and her Hard Candy era.
Yep.
And you remember the Sticky and Sweet tour.
Yes. Where she does the jump roping and stuff. Yeah.
Yes. And then you remember her song Give It To Me.
Yes.
Where she has the Get Stupid. Anyway, during the Sticky and Sweet tour, The Get Stupid video caused controversy in the political world as it showed then Republican candidate John McCain alongside pictures of Hitler and Robert Mugabe. Tucker Bounds, subtle spokesperson for McCain, said that the comparisons are outrageous, unacceptable, and crudely divisive all at the same time. By contrast, another part of the video depicted then-Democratic candidate Barack Obama with pictures of John Lennon, Gandhi, and Al Gore. Tommy Vitor, spokesperson for Obama's camp, also spoke out against the video and deemed it outrageous and offensive with no place in the political process.
What if I storm out of this office right now? Go into his fucking office in tears.
I already texted him about it.
Look, Tommy. Stay in your lane.
It's unacceptable. I don't like it when Madonna says the things.
We'll be right back with more advertisements for Tommy John's. Fuck him.
He was doing his job.
Yeah, right. Yes. I can picture him gulping and typing. And then I shouldn't have said that.
Could you imagine Tommy saying that now, though?
No. Well, but he would hear me in his ear. He'd be like, I don't want to hurt that spindly fag's feelings and get him on my case. Which reminds me, he can say fag to me. Go ahead, Tommy. Yeah.
He has.
Yeah, right.
He says it about you all the time.
Oh, that fag?
Yeah.
Love her. Yeah. Wow. Keep it to Tommy Vitor.
Yeah.
Wow. And his work at the White House.
Yeah. Vintage Tommy Vitor, though.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Oh, yeah. My God. Also,
the White House does things to you, okay?
You also forget that, like, something like that from a Madonna tour would actually make headlines.
And
like,
be controversial.
She would work it. Yeah.
Yeah.
That is really funny.
Now who would give a fuck?
No, exactly. Well, excuse me. Remember when she had the rebel art artwork and then used the strings on, like, Martin Luther King and stuff?
Yeah.
That was among the most idiotic things she's ever done.
Martin Luther King was a rebel heart.
Yeah. I picture Coretta Scott King just responding,
She was like, actually?
Don't.
You preferred Lucky Star.
Yeah. I mean, Martin liked her old shit, of course. Yeah.
Wow. You know, if he hadn't been shot.
Yeah, that's right.
Do you think he would have been at the Renaissance tour?
Oh, my God, yes.
Yeah.
Is that offensive to say?
Yeah. Martin twerking in the box with Jeff Bezos?
Martin twerking king, yeah. What is wrong with this podcast? Can you go back to New York?
There was actually
it's safer when you're there.
That's actually the dead zone.
Yeah.
You know, someone saw Martin Luther King with Jeff Bezos twerking at the Renaissance tour, and they said, I got to shoot him.
Yeah. It all makes sense now.
Yeah. Tommy's going to blow up my phone tomorrow.
Yeah, right. You guys. I haven't seen her in a minute. Oh, I did an extra episode of the Crooked Stuff for whatever, the Patreon or however they make money here. And that was that was fun.
You're talking about Peanuts.
Yes, right. Yeah. Oh, yes, I was.
Yeah,
yes.
Snoopy.
And I was scolded for not being supportive of Marcy in her. There's a new Peanuts special about Marcy. Guys, I don't want to see Marcy up to anything.
Is she the dirty one?
No,
that's Linus. No. She's the one who looks almost dirty. She, glasses?
Yes, right. She wears glasses. She's Peppermint Patty's little friend who's always like, sir. Yeah. Yeah. Which is a pretty good bit, I do have to say.
Yeah. Non-binary icon.
Right.
Marcy.
Potentially.
Yeah.
They're working it, yes.
I haven't thought about Peanuts in a minute. Peanuts is still around.
I know.
We were talking about Flintstones and Jetsons, but like Peanuts is still around. Peanuts is still relevant.
Because they had a movie in the past 10 years, yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. But no, you're right. Well, the idea of like a comic strip still being around. Like, no, do people know what Dick Tracy is anymore? Anyway.
I read Mary Worth every day.
Oh, yeah. Rhymes with orange, we speak your name.
Let me tell you what she was up to last week. Talking about one of her neighbor's business, which is what she's always doing. Mary Worth. Nosy bitch.
Okay. We
gossipy
need,
bitch.
We, okay. I'm going to go take my...
Mary needs to know her worth.
I'm going to go read Doonesbury and get out of here.
That's our show. Thank you to Brittany Broski for being here. And next week, I will be back in New York.
And the show will be Hinged. That'll be nice.
But coming soon, we're going to have some bonus episodes of the show called Keep It Real, Keep It Reality. I actually don't know what I'm calling it yet. Let me know in the comments which one you like better.
And it'll be reality TV focused.
Reality TV focused. Just some interviews with those folks. Some Bravo folks that I will do alone because Lewis would rather watch Room.
That's right. You know I only watch Bravo when it's operas. The original recipe of Bravo.
But some other reality TV people that then you will be involved in.
Sure.
Yeah. And we got to launch a bonus one for you. Just, you know, you wandering around cemeteries talking about dead white women's gravestones.
Here's where Carol Lombard lies. We love her. Next, Clark Gable. Yes.
And Jess Glynn.
Yes, right. Jess Glynn. Yes, of course.
Famously dead.
Yes. Yeah. What happened to her?
I killed her. Oh. My body counts 4 now.
We'll see you next week.
Keep It is a Crooked Media production. Our senior producer is Kendra James. Our producer is Chris Lord. And our associate producer is Malcolm Whitfield. Our executive producers are Ira Madison III and Louis Vertel.
This episode was recorded and mixed by Evan Sutton. Thank you to our digital team, Megan Patzel and Rachel Gajewski, and to Matt DeGroot and David Tolles for production support every week.
And as always, Keep It is recorded in front of a live studio audience. Since you enjoy listening to us, we would like to recommend a new podcast that you may like. Still Watching, from the award-winning television critics at Vanity Fair, takes you into the fabulous and fun world of And Just Like That.
Join Vanity Fair's Richard Lawson, Hilary Busis, and Chris Murphy as they recap each episode of the iconic Sex and the City update. Whether you love it or hate it, each Thursday, Still Watching will feature a lively discussion of And Just Like That, plus interviews with the stars of the show. Make sure you're following Still Watching, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
I love Chris Murphy, close friend in New York, and we love Richard Lawson.
Fucking
as well.
Love Richard Lawson.
Hilary, I don't know you, girl, but yeah. I think you're great.
We're going to be friends. That's my threat.
Yeah.